Them up to Mark chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12 this morning in Mark chapter 2. And when you have found it, if you would please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word this morning, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Word of our Lord says unto us, beginning in Mark 2, and again He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them, and they came unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Sons, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately He arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we thank You for this day, for the blessings of this day, for the blessings of this church, and the blessings of the families that have gathered here this morning. We thank You for the blessings of the children. Lord, we just pray for Your will to be done in all of our hearts this morning, and for the next few moments, if You would just still our minds and our hearts and help us to focus upon Your Word and Your Word done to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. I hope this morning as we were reading the Scriptures that one of the first things that jumped out, one of the first truths that would jump out to you is the truth that people really matter to Jesus. Now, as we look at this passage, we can know the truth that it wasn't just a select few for whom He cared. If that were true, we would not read in this passage that there were many who came, many who gathered there. If only a select few people mattered to the Lord, there would have been a sign up saying, You're not welcome here. But that's not what we read. We read that there were many who gathered, and so we see right away that people matter to the Lord. The second truth that should jump out at us from our text is that there were many. Many who were gathered and many who were needy. You see, they're no different from all of us today. In fact, they were a lot like us. They were needy. They had problems just like we do. Some of them may have had some physical problems. Most certainly, there were those in the crowd who may have been suffering from mental stress. That pandemic has really brought out a lot of mental stress for folks, hasn't it? I bet there were there among the many some who were out of work or out of money. Perhaps there were those who came that were among the many, like people today. They're out of answers. They're out of hope. Well, I'd be willing to wager that there were among those, the many there, who were wondering how they were going to make ends meet, what the next hour would hold, what the next day might hold. And there were those gathered there among the many, most certainly, who were going through some family issues. Perhaps there were some who were contemplating divorce, some who were going through a separation, some who were going through something. Without a doubt, there could have been there among the many, those who were struggling with marital issues, parental issues, or just plain issues. How many of you gathered here this morning might say, you know, I got some issues. And I hope the third truth you heard as I read this passage was this: the many had gathered because Jesus was their only source of hope. And I want you to note that as soon as it was heard, Mark tells us here, as soon as it was heard
that he was in the house, how quickly the many came. How quickly they gathered. My Bible tells me it was immediately. Do you want to know why it was immediately? Let me tell you why it was immediately. Because he came preaching the word of life. He came preaching hope. He came speaking of comfort. He brought calm and he brought assurance to all they were facing. And he gave them something they hadn't received from anyone else. And that something was significant. I don't know about you, but I think you're a lot like me. We're all in need of someone to show us just a little bit of significance, aren't we? That we matter. They knew that they mattered to him. And that got me to thinking, do you know that you really matter to him? Do you know that your issues, whatever they might be this morning, they're important to the Lord of glory? If people really matter, then it shouldn't surprise us that we find in God's Word a text that tells us that many people came, many people gathered. And then there's a third truth that jumps out from this passage, and that's his compassion. They came because they knew he would have compassion for them. They weren't worried about being shooed away or shoved aside. They didn't concern themselves with what kind of mood they might find them in. They didn't concern themselves with the fact that maybe the Lord was tired and he might be busy there at home. They weren't concerned if they came and found him at rest. They knew if they came that he would have compassion and he would care for them. They knew he would meet their needs because they knew he cared. My friend, the Bible teaches that God cares for us. I pray that if you don't know God cares for you, that that's the one thing you would come to know this morning, that God cares for you. These four truths got me wondering, do we care for others? Do people really matter to us? Would we? Do we, as God's people, demonstrate the type of compassion that's demonstrated here in this text that we read? How sad it is that we find such lack of compassion in our world today. And because that's true, it would be very easy for us to conclude that people really don't matter. But people do matter. And that's God's point in this message this morning. Oh, that we could be compassionate for others. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I want you to allow me to challenge you this morning with this thought. We can lay our lives down in a multitude of ways to show compassion and meet the needs of others. Compassion, family and friends, carries with it the idea of concern, of care, of forgiveness. And all of us can be forgiven of our sins because God has compassion for us. God demonstrated his compassion for all of the people of the world, not the planet, in this way. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And again, we're talking about people, not the planet. God's in the saving business. Do you know it was his compassion that moved him to save us by his grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. And in so doing, God poured out his mercy upon us. That's why the psalmist could write, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandment to do them. I hope you read in there, as I read that passage, that you heard in there that he knows us. He created you, friend. God knows our frame. He knows our need. And the Bible says he pities us. In other words, he has compassion for us. Jeremiah put it this way in the book of Lamentations, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. The compassion of God never fails. And all of this demonstrates his great love and his compassion for people then and now. As Christians, we are challenged to be a people of compassion, a people just like Christ, to be a people whose very lives are characterized by love and compassion for others. You know, we stop and we just pause for a moment in the busyness of our lives and consider that every one of us has a sphere of influence. You see, we see people every day in the little world that God has given unto us. We all work in certain places. We all live in certain neighborhoods. We all go to market. And you see, this is our little world. And in our little world, we are challenged to be a sphere of influence, a sphere of compassion, to bring glory to the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? How often are you showing compassion and love to those in your little world? I believe the greatest need in all the world today is the need for compassion. And we cannot show a true picture of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ if we do not have and hold in our hearts compassion for the needs of others. Paul put it this way in the book of Romans, as God's children, we are to rejoice with them that do rejoice, and we're to weep with them that weep. You know, and if we're going to weep with them that weep, we must have the ability to demonstrate, to give, or to show Christ-like compassion. Would you agree with me that we certainly are today living in a world that is full of hurting people? Would you agree with that? Amen? A world that in many instances is devoid of compassion. And so what better way is there to show Christ-like compassion than to show people that you care? If we want to see the world become a better place, it's incumbent upon each one of us to take up the challenge of this passage and to show people that we care. And that begins right in our own homes, doesn't it? You see, the challenge before us in this text is to be a people of compassion. And I want you to note that four men here, we're told, saw the need of one man. And this man wasn't going to be able to get to where Jesus was without help. For him to get help, for him to get to where Jesus was, someone was going to have to demonstrate and hold in their heart some type of compassion for him. They were going to have to meet him at his point of need and bring him to a place where that need could be met. And this is what it means to be a person or a people of compassion. It means meeting people at their point of need and caring enough to help make a difference. Have you ever thought, what is compassion? And God tells us that compassion isn't feeling sorry for somebody. If that were the case, we wouldn't have needed a Savior because there would be no judgment. If compassion meant feeling sorry, then God could not judge us for the things that we have done wrong. And every one of us knows that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We've all failed in some way. And yet we know that those who reject Christ is one day going to face his judgment. One day they're going to walk themselves right into hell because they're going to walk over the only means of salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And if compassion meant feeling sorry for someone, then there is no way that God could allow that to happen. So compassion isn't feeling sorry for someone. and having pity for them in that kind of way. Compassion is simply seeing a need and being willing to step up to meet it. Now, most folks who hear or read the verse, "Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," they most always assume it means being willing to die for someone. Was that true? It may be. But I believe that our Lord means the myriad of differing ways that we can lay down our life for someone. For example, we read in the book of Philippians, "Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we see Jesus here in this text laying down his life because many had come. Perhaps our Lord had wanted to rest. Perhaps he'd wanted to do something for himself. But many had come, and he laid down his life. He laid down his plans, his interest for the good of others to meet their needs. Family and friends, Jesus is just simply giving us a demonstration of what compassion is. Four men saw one man who had a need, and they had compassion for him. And the Bible tells us they picked him up and they brought him to the only place where his need could be met. And the challenge for us today is to be a people of compassion in a compassionless world. We must accept the challenge that Jesus gave us when he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We must be a people of passion. We must be a people willing to penetrate lostness. You see, this man had a greater need than just being physically healed. We don't know much about this man, but what we do know is that he was a sinner. And what we do know from our world is that when people are hurting, quite often they can be found cursing God. They can be found blaming God for their lot in life. Perhaps this man, as he lay there, was heard by these four cursing God and damning God for his lot in life. We don't know that for certain, but from what we know goes on around us in our own little worlds, those things that we hear, it wouldn't be hard to imagine that it could have happened that way, would it? But again, we don't know. But these four were willing to penetrate this man's lostness to bring him to the place where his need could be met. You know, oftentimes God's people today are unwilling to share the good news simply because they're afraid to move out of their comfort zone. And as a result, America has been inundated with many false views of God, many false views of His church, simply because of the unwillingness to be a people willing to penetrate lostness. And so God challenges us here today. We're to follow the example of these four and choose to demonstrate Christ-like compassion, just like they did to this man. We're to do it to our fellow man. We're to do it to one another. We must be a people of compassion. We must be a people willing to penetrate lostness. But there's a third point here. We must be a people who are willing to make a concerted effort. This house where they appeared probably had the common external stairway leading to the roof, and the construction of the roof was probably poles placed across the space between the walls with smaller sticks and reeds forming a network across them, and this was covered with some kind of matting or hardened earth, as was common of the homes in Jesus' day. So to put a hole in such a roof as this wasn't going to be all that big a deal. All it was going to do is take just a little bit of effort. And our text says that there were so many at the door that they couldn't get near it. And yet, because of the compassion of these four for this one, these four didn't allow that to discourage them. They didn't allow them to come up with an excuse. "Well, just too many today, so we can't do it. We're just going to go on, forget about this." No, they didn't do that. They made a concerted effort to see their mission fulfilled. So they climbed up that stairway and they dug a hole in that roof where they proceeded to lower this man down to the only one who could meet his need. Who among us can deny as we read this text and listen to it that this was not a concerted effort? It most certainly was. It required the willingness of each one of the four to work together to see the mission completed, didn't it? These four simply made a choice not to let anything stand in the way of their compassion to see this man's need met. That's what Christ-like compassion does. It compels us to act like someone's Savior, to bring them to the Savior who is a God of compassion, a God who is willing to penetrate lostness, a God who is willing to make a concerted effort to reach you right where you are. You see, we all come this morning because we have needs. You may be here this morning and you are in need of His saving compassion. Right now, you've not yet repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, you're here this morning and you have not yet received His mercy and His grace to wash away your sin and cover it. You need His soul-saving compassion. You may be here this morning and you've already received His soul-saving compassion, but you have a different need. And whatever that need might be, I hope and pray that you would know from this text here, this word of truth, that God loves you and that God has compassion for you and that God wants to meet your need, whatever that need might be. You may be here today and all you need is for someone somewhere just to show you just a little bit of compassion, just a little bit of love, just a little bit that you care. That you're important to them. That's what the man on the mat needed. He needed all of God's compassion. He needed God's soul-saving compassion. He needed God's compassion for his physical needs. And he most certainly needed someone to show him a little compassion, and four men did. Four men chose to lay down their lives and demonstrate for another. Four men were willing to penetrate lostness. Four men were willing to make a concerted effort to help one man come to know and understand God's compassion. Four men demonstrate what we all ought to be like. And friend, because they did, they were able to meet the need of someone who was lost, someone who was lonely, and someone who was without hope. And in great need of someone willing to give them some compassion. How do we know that's true? Because the Bible says Jesus saved him from all his sin. He didn't condemn him. He didn't say to him, "What are you doing that for?" No, Jesus said, "I forgive you. I love you. By my grace, I will save you. By my mercy, I will help you up." That man got up off the mat. You may be here this morning. You feel like you're on the mat. I want you to know that Jesus can get you off the mat because Jesus is full of hope. This man got off the mat because he had a new hope. This man got off the mat because he had a new strength. This man got off the mat because he had a new passion for life, and all because he received some compassion from God and some compassion from men. Family and friends, can we all agree that what this world needs is just a little bit of compassion? Amen? People need to know that they matter. They matter to God and they matter to you. Sometimes we can get so busy in our own homes that those we love the most can think that we don't really matter to them anymore. People need to know they matter. I want you to know God cares. And I hope today that this church has demonstrated to each and every one of us gathered here together that we care. We care about the children. We care about the family. We care about one another. As I close this message, three questions come to mind. Are you willing to accept God's challenge and example that He set before us? Are you willing to be like these four? Are you willing to be a person who has compassion for the needs of others in a compassionless world in which we're living today? All we need to do is just be a people who are willing to demonstrate the love and compassion to one another that God has for us. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word unto us this morning. We thank you for your grace, your power, your joy and your goodness. Father, we thank you for a passage of Scripture like this that reminds us that, Lord, you are full of compassion and you are ready and able to meet every man's need. Father, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Lord, a time when men and women who have been in the presence of your word can hear your spirit speaking to their heart. And Lord, as they listen close to you this morning, as your word is spoken, as your spirit has gone forth, Father, would you help them to respond this morning? There may be people here this morning who have not yet received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that's their need today. There may be someone who is here who just has a need for someone to pray with them, for someone to show a little compassion. There may be someone here who needs to come and just pour it out to God today. Lord, what's needed in this place and what's needed in this world is just a little bit of compassion. So during this time of invitation, as we sing this final song, Lord, would you speak to hearts as only you can? And would you help people to respond as only they can? In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Brother Marty, if you'll come and lead us in song. If you'd rise to your feet this morning, if God has spoken to your heart and you want to come and pray, the altar is open. If you need to make a decision, you come. Whatever the need today, you come.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If it's for purity now that you sigh, let Jesus come into your heart. Fountains for cleansing are flowing nearby. Let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If there's a tempest your voice cannot still, let Jesus come into your heart. If there's a void this world never can fill, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you would join the songs of the blessed, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would enter the mansions of rest, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give up. Just now reject him no more. Just now
thank you for being with us. Parents, thank you for bringing your children. What a joy it is. What a blessing it is. Thank you for entrusting us with them. We have so much fun with them. And they are a blessing unto us. In just a moment as we dismiss, we're going to go downstairs for a time of refreshments. And there's three ways to go. You can go out this door, go straight back and down the stairs. Or you can go out either one of these doors. And down the stairs, they'll bring your children down. And let us just go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and your abundant love. Father, we thank you that the joy of Jesus has been poured out upon us through the voices of these, in the presence of these children this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that ever always touches our hearts. And Lord, may you always and forever be our blessing, our joy, our hope, our song, and our strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.